Houston standing by, over.
Jeremy and Joe starts now
on ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Jeremy Branham and Joe George.
Welcome in to Jeremy and Joe on ESPN 97.5. Joe George, Brian McDonald, joining me this week while Jeremy is out on vacation is Will Cummings.
What's up, boys?
How you doing, man?
I'm great. We got our sweat of the week locked in. Thanks to
sweat of
me.
The day. Sweat of the day.
Idiot.
Sweat of the day.
Off to a hot start, gentlemen.
And look, there's no baseball going on, so I said in our little pre-show meeting, what's the sweat of the day going to be? There's no World Cup games.
No, you said there is no sweat of the day because there's nothing to bet on.
Yeah.
And I said, contraire mon frère, my friend.
Yeah, so we're on the over 171.5 in the Pistons-Knicks Summer League game. That's where the sweat of the day is at right now, okay?
So when did you know you had a problem, gentlemen?
Yeah, now.
It's a bit segment, and we have to do it every day. Those are the rules.
It's part of work. We don't want to do this.
Yeah, we have to have a sweat of the day. It's part of the rules of the show. Now, tomorrow we got France-Spain. We'll be fine. Wednesday we'll have a sweat of the day. So we had to go a little outside the box today, and probably Thursday and maybe Friday as well.
So you want to hear the worst part about this? I'm going to be sweating more than y'all because you jumped the gun and placed the bet.
We were on
while we were talking about it.
Yeah.
So you took the over. I parlayed the Pistons -9 with the under.
I can't believe we're betting Summer League.
So you're on the opposite side of the official show bet.
But it was my bet, and he didn't wait for me to chime in.
I know.
Joe rushed it pretty quickly.
Unfortunately, what I have is on record of the sweat of the day. So it is what it is. I'll report back to Jeremy what we're plus or minus when he gets back on Monday. We'll talk Astros, good, bad, the ugly from the weekend. We'll talk a little bit of everything. Like it's a weird week with no baseball really going on until Friday. We'll look back at the pre All-Star break portion of the Astros season. Christian Javier. We'll do some NFL, some Texans, kind of mixed bag of things. We'll hat tip today as well, but we'll start off as we always do with the good, bad, the ugly, and as Jeremy says, that's dictated by the baseball team. Well, they lost the series to the Rangers this weekend. It was not a great series overall. But, Will, I'll let you start with your first bad or ugly from this weekend.
I mean, the pitchers that get paid money.
that's a fair way to put it. Like, it was like, I had Hunter Brown on my list. Mm-hmm. Now, I've said this before with Jeremy and Brian. Just like, I wish there was like a mid-category. Because it's not the worst result in the world. For Hunter Brown.
You can't lose games when he's on the mound, though. And that's a team thing. Like, when he's on the bump, you have to win. Because, as we saw with the other guys, what the hell we're going to get, we have no idea.
Yes. But the walks were out of control.
So that's why my other, like, bad was going to be Josh Miller, the pitching coach. Because the worst team in baseball, they're the most generous team in all of baseball, most walks and hit by pitches by anybody, like near 300. It's crazy.
Yeah, it's the control for this team is not great. And that's with Hunter Brown. Like, I think that's a good way to put it. Like, the pitchers who make money. I have Christian Javier on my list as well. He was not particularly good in his outing.
What is this, church?
Like, a nice way to put it, I know.
Oh,
like,
Jesus.
He stinks.
Bro, he's so bad.
Yeah, and we'll have a longer discussion about his future on the Astros a little bit later in the show, because I think it's seriously in doubt at this point. But yeah, the pitchers who make money is a good bad to start this one off. Brian, what's your first bad?
I'll stick with another pitcher who doesn't make as much money, but Brian King was brutal this weekend.
Yeah.
That sequence on Friday, what was it? I had written down here. Homer walk, single, homer, single. And then he followed it up yesterday by when the Astros take the lead, giving up the tying home run before eventually another Astros reliever, which I'll say for you guys, gave up the lead and gave the Rangers a series win. But Brian King was brutal this weekend.
Yeah, and he's been good, obviously.
Like, very good.
This whole season. So, like, this is one of those where he's just bad for the weekend, and you hope this is not a sign of things to come, but just disaster performance.
The worst part is I'm in a group chat, you know, handful of Astros, and they're like, hell with Brian King, he stinks. And I was like, actually, he's been really, really good all year long. And then Sunday happened. It's like, gosh, dang.
The worst part is on Friday, he got taken out by a guy with the last name of Berger. Berger taking
Jake
out
Berger
King.
Covered him in Charlotte when he was with the Charlotte Knights and the White Sox.
Berger King, yeah. That was unfortunate.
Did you think that was funny, Brian? Weird.
I didn't. But the official Major League Baseball Twitter account tweeted it out. Oh. So I was like, well, I got to talk about it.
Yeah, that could also be a good junkie of the day for sure for later on. Yeah, but yeah, 4 runs on Friday, then the one, giving up 3 hits in yesterday's game. It's hard. It's feels a little unfair to say that the reason why the Astros lost the series over the weekend is solely based on Brian King, but also but also kind of fair.
Him. It wasn't solely
like,
him.
It definitely wasn't, but like to
it
your
feels
point.
Like it. Like it's like he is the common denominator.
He's the reason that I think you could say he's the reason they lost Friday.
For
sure, he gives up 4 runs. It was a tie game when he entered. It was 7-3 when he left.
Yeah, and he made it a tie game yesterday. So it was an awful weekend for Brian King.
I mean, Sunday's because of Christian Javier. You can't go 3 innings, walk 3 guys, get 9 outs on 60 pitches.
Yeah,
I mean it's horrendous.
Brian King only had 1 earned run for the entire month of June.
Yeah,
and his first 3 appearances in July. So he had gone more than a month, even going back into his last appearance of May. Before he had given up an earned run. It's like he's been immaculate this year for the Astros, but just an absolute abysmal weekend for him.
He had a 2.03 ERA going into the weekend. 2.03. I mean, that's as good as any reliever you're going to find in baseball, 12 holds.
Yeah, and now it's...
And now it's 2.93. It's a very different ERA.
Yeah, just still pretty good, but it's just when it jumps up that much in one weekend, like it's going to be obviously going to make this list. Brian alluded to it. I mean, he's been nearly perfect this year, but like that was a tough outing for Josh Hader. Mm-hmm. Obviously, like
yeah, didn't get an out.
Yeah,
just hit.
And now the first one, you know, DeZenzo, not a great play in left field.
Not a great player.
Also probably a nice way to put that. Not that it would have mattered the way that Josh Hader was pitching because he just didn't have his stuff. This is one of those two where it's like he's normally pretty solid in the non-closing role, but he is. Like, he's an A++ pitcher in a closing situation. It does feel like that drops when it's a non-save situation.
And he's not the only. Like, this is a tale as old as time, which is, I kind of get it. But it's just something that we've, for all relievers.
Yeah, honestly, all my notes are about pitching.
Most of mine are as well. Were you guys, quickly on Hader, were you guys surprised they didn't send Langford? Well, I guess they did send Langford, but Langford held up. Like, I mean, it didn't even matter because Hader just gave up a hit to the next guy.
Yeah.
That was surprising. I thought he had plenty of time to make it home.
Well, they sent him.
Yeah, they sent him. Like, Langford just ignored him and pulled up.
He's froze. Like, it's one of those where, like, if the Rangers lose that game and the Astros come back and win and they win that thing in extras, like, Langford is getting crucified on the internet. Because, like, he is safe by a mile if he just takes off to home. That was strange. So, it's like, it doesn't make Hader's appearance any better or worse because, like you said, Brian, he just gave up the next hit anyways. But yes, Langford should have gone there. Like, and there's no way the Astros are making that throw to get him out. So they're losing that game.
No, I don't think so. It wasn't shallow.
Yeah, it was.
It was like medium, but
they were deep too. Like, it took a while for them to get to the ball. So it's like I don't think DeZenzo has an arm being scared of running on.
Mm-hmm. No, like, no. The only guy I wouldn't run on that situation on the Astros is Cam Smith.
Exactly. Like, he's the only one. Outside of that, like, besides the pitching, like, again, Christian Javier, terrible. Like, the lineup was, like, okay. I mean, I get, like, blue ball, like, he gave up 2 earned runs, but, like, it was a non-important situation. So, like.
Yeah, they're up big.
Yeah.
Like, and then Hader, was that the game where Hader then starts warming up?
No, because
when it was 9-3?
I don't remember if he got up or not, honestly.
I think he did get up.
But, like, outside of that, like, the pitching, you know, Brian, what'd you have for the lineup?
So, I had a couple. Christian Walker was only 1-for-12 in the series, only had 1 walk. Jeremy Pena, 2-for-12. No walks in the series. And then remember Friday when it didn't end up mattering because the Astros lost 7-3, so 1 run wasn't the difference. But Altuve tried to turn a double play in the first inning Friday night, and just the ball just kind of fell out of his hands.
Yeah.
And eventually that run came around to score because of the inning staying alive with that extra out. Didn't matter. Result was still the same either way, but that was a pretty bad play from Altuve.
Yeah, with Christian Walker, I put, even though they won 9-3 on Saturday, he struck out 4 times.
Yeah, he wasn't good.
Like,
and he's been trending down all summer.
He's been
He's been brutal. He's been brutal. Basically, outside of April, he's been brutal.
Yeah, like it was very much earlier in the season. It was like, I can't believe we've said all these bad things about Christian Walker, and it's kind of turned into maybe we should not have stopped saying bad things about Christian Walker. And like, it feels like a blip in the radar now of he's not who that month was. Like, maybe he gives you another month like that at some point this season, but like, I don't think it's going to be back to like the first half of last year bad. Because that was so abysmal and unplayable, honestly. But I'm kind of at that point where, like, I have very low expectations for Christian Walker the rest of the season.
I mean, he had a bad June and he's had a bad July. 674 OPS in June, and then July is 674.
It's pretty awful.
I don't think his May was that good either.
May was 743, which is just above average. Yeah, just so everyone knows.
That's like fine-ish. That's fine-ish. And the only other bad I had was yesterday, all the outfielders running into walls and falling down and hurting themselves.
Yeah.
Well, between Taylor Trammell and Bryce Matthews, it's like, can we keep the Astros have zero depth in the outfield, and everyone's getting hurt yesterday.
Yeah, Bryce, like, it's interesting because he pops up right away.
Yeah, he saved the home run, popped it up. I mean, he couldn't hang on to the ball. Like you said, pops up, makes a throw to keep it from being an inside the park home run, but then he can't get up and can't finish the game.
Yeah, the only other bad that I had, well, I don't know if you have any more.
No more bads. I mean, it centers around the pitching.
The only other bad I had, like, and typically we don't go down this path, but like, it was so clearly a foul ball on Hunter Brown's fourth walk of the game when it hit off the knob of the bat. Like, they were all
they were
all rightfully upset. I put on my, like,
not challengeable for some reason.
Why?
I don't know.
It's like my biggest pet peeve with challenging in sports. Like, not that it matters. Like, Hunter Brown still, like, you hit him basically. You just happen to get lucky and hit the knob of the bat. Like, why do we have challenges if we can't challenge everything?
That's
like, it's just, what's the point? Like, it's either make everything challengeable or make nothing challengeable.
Get VAR.
Like, I wish, oh gosh.
Could we have a sensor in the bat to see if the heartbeat flickers like it does in the soccer ball? I'm a soccer guy now.
Yeah. So. Well, we're going to do what's going on with the World Cup, and there's a lot of VAR controversy.
VAR. Yeah.
I don't want to hear those words ever again. The amount of complaining I've seen, and honestly, rightfully so. My gosh, like, soccer fans, I think, take after the players. The players are flopping and pretending they're hurt all the time. And like,
but to be fair, it's a wildly corrupt institution.
Oh, it is.
So, like,
it is.
No matter what happens, you have a gripe because you can say because they're liars.
Yeah.
It was, and you watch the FIFA, like, president or whatever go crazy every time Argentina scores a goal, which is crazy. Imagine Roger Goodell. Or Rob Manfred openly just like when the Yankees score, if the New York Giants like win the Super Bowl, just going crazy.
Yeah, it's so strange that happens. Like
it's so strange.
Well, I mean, I guess I'd prefer my commissioner of my sport cheering for a team than Rob Manfred saying it's just a piece of metal like he did. I think I'd take the opposite of that because that's like the worst thing a commissioner has absolutely ever said.
Would you rather have him as your commissioner or Kathy Engelbert?
Probably Manfred.
I think you're probably right.
All right, we're going to take a break here. When we get back, we'll get to the good because there were still some goods over the weekend. Even though they lost the series, there are a couple pauses that we can hit on here on the other side right here on Jeremy and Joe on ESPN 97.5. Twin Peaks is the best place to go. Best place to go to watch all the games going on right now, especially with the soccer tournament going on. You're going to have the ice cold beer, 29 degrees of Michelob Ultra that you can have. The Twin Peaks girls will be bringing it by whenever you need it. They've got their specialty spicy margaritas made with Casamigos that you can get as well. They have scratch made menu. All their food there is excellent. I love the wings personally. They're my favorite part of it. They got 12 choices of sauces and dry rubs that you can be using so you can rotate every time you go to a Twin Peaks. They have sear to order burgers, shareables that beat the brakes off of all bar food. It's the ultimate sports lodge experience with all the games going on when sports really get back going on this weekend after the All-Star break. It's a great place to go and watch all your games. And you know what's great about Twin Peaks too? Is you can go. You can enjoy your food and your beer even if you're watching the most disappointing UFC fight maybe of all time. Because the food's still good and the beer is still cold. Twin Peaks. Eats, drinks, scenic views.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
We're taking a break.
Okay. That's cool.
You're listening to Jeremy and Joe
on ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Jeremy Branham and Joe George.
All right, Jeremy, Joe, Will Kunkel here all week as Jeremy Branham is out. We'll all be at Eastern.
Jeffrey Branham.
Coming up on Friday. Which one was that, Brian?
Jeffrey Branham.
I forgot about that. I forgot that. Who was that?
Oh, gosh. Now
is that Keith Harvick?
Tim Brando.
That's right, yes.
Tim Brando
called him Jeffrey. We got our sweat of the day going right now. Over 171.5 in the Pistons-Knicks game. 19-14, 2:27 left to go in the first quarter.
Who's winning?
Doesn't matter. Oh, it doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter.
Pistons are up by 5.
All right, here we go, boys.
But they're 10-minute quarters, so I have no idea if we're on pace or not.
Yeah, that's when you have to look at the live bets, see how it's moving.
What do you need?
How many points do we need to score per quarter total to hit 172?
That'd be
172 divided by 4, 43 points per quarter.
Yeah. There you go.
I think we're in trouble.
I think we're in trouble.
That's okay. We'll start. If we start all one week, it is what it is. Well, blame me. It's blame Joe. Junkie of the day right away. Let's get us some goods over the weekend, because even though the Astros lost the series, I mean, they're still like relatively okay, which we'll discuss more here coming up about like just looking back at the first part of the season for the Astros. But they're 3 games back now in the division. The Rangers now the only team above 500 in the division at 49-47. So, yes, they lost the series, but there's still a couple goods to go through. I'll start just as we go through the pitching.
We're all going to have the same.
So many bad with the pitching. I do want to highlight Peter Lambert. Like,
of course.
He's excellent. Mine. Like, his development and what he's done this year is like maybe one of the biggest surprises of this part of the season so far. But goes out there, throws you 6 innings, only gives up 3 hits, strikes out 7, has 1 earned run, 1 walk in the game as well. So as walks were a problem for the Astros, for Hunter Brown and others over the weekend. Not a problem for him. So Peter Lambert continues to be excellent for Houston.
Peter Lambert was mine too. And this guy, like the Astros always have somebody like this. Last year was Jonathan Alexander. This year is Peter Lambert. They had Zach Short, was it last year, kind of filling in on the offensive side?
Yeah, he came up late. Yeah.
Like they always have somebody like this. So, and I don't know. He was drafted by
JP
the Rockies.
JP France in years past. Yeah. Ronel Blanco came out of nowhere.
Mm-hmm. Well, Ronel Blanco is a crazy story. Dana Brown watched him pitch in training camp or whatever, spring training. I talked to him about this, and this is why I know this. He was telling me the story. He was in the booth calling, you know, being part of the broadcast, and he watched him come out of the pen. He's like, that is a starter. That is not a reliever. And he made the call right then and there that they were going to have him be a starter.
Well, hopefully he's back soon. He threw 4 1/3 over the weekend in Sugar Land. Didn't strike anyone out, but his velo is up 94.2 is where he maxed out at. So maybe Blanco will be back and solve some of these pitching problems coming out of the break. Brian, what's one of your goods?
Just quickly on Lambert, I was pulling this stat over the weekend. Not only has he been great, like the overall ERA looks good, but if you look at him just even like lately, since the start of June, his ERA is 2.43. Like he's been not just, oh, well, you know, he's the latest serviceable guy like JP France or Jason Alexander. He's like, he's actually been legit really good. Another good for me was Altuve. Like, obviously, a lot was made of his early season struggles. But he had a hit in every game, had a homer yesterday. So, I mean, there's still some up and down moments. He still makes his blunders on the base pass. Not great defensively, but the bat's been pretty decent over the last month or so.
Does Jake Myers count?
No.
Get a walk-off.
Hit
a walk-off for Triple A.
We're talking about the real baseball team.
Just
here.
Saying.
Will. Save it for
Maybe
tip.
He should
Save
be on the real baseball
the
team.
Save
we can discuss that, if he deserves to be on the real baseball team or not. I put Yiner on my list. Like, it wasn't the perfect weekend for him.
But had a homer.
Like, but had a homer. Multi-hit game through, I can't remember who he threw out yesterday. Was it yesterday? Where, like, he ripped it. So I think he's taken like a lot of, when Yiner was first coming back, like I was very against him playing. Like I really wanted Christian Vasquez starting probably 4 of the 6 games in a week. I think that's quickly flipped where like Yiner is showing, for the most part, game in and game out, that his bat deserves a place in this lineup. And if you're going to talk yourself in to the Houston Astros being a playoff team this year, Yiner probably is the guy that needs to be behind the plate most of the time. So I put Yiner on my list of goods over the weekend as well.
Can you say Yordan, or is it just like,
no, yeah, yeah.
No, we know. Of course. Yeah, we got it.
This might be the first time we've led to good in forever without Yordan Alvarez. He's on my list.
He got 2 hits in every game.
Yeah, and he has 200
home runs, too.
2 home runs in that game. Like, and he's so clutch. Like, it's unbelievable. Like, you need him to come up and – no, sorry, it was not two home runs in one game.
No, he had home run and back-to-back games. Back-to-back Friday, Saturday home runs.
He just mashes baseballs. Like, it's unbelievable. I know he's batting second in the All-Star game. I am one
that
of
lineup's
the,
out?
The few – I saw Schwabe tweet that he was batting second, so I think it is out.
All right.
I'm very selfishly wish he was doing the home run derby tonight. I understand most people don't want that. I just think he'd be so incredible at it. But yeah, he's all obviously part of the good. Like he's the MVP for a reason right now.
There are very few players where I'll do this to. Like Kyle Schwarber, Aaron Judge, Yordan, Shohei are amongst them. I saw his home run, but my TV was on mute. I went back. Rewound it, turn the sound on, because the ball hitting his bat, like the sound of it is just like, oh, damn. Like the pop is so good. He just mashes baseballs. And he does it. The best part about him is that he does it in all
man,
categories.
When he gets a hold of on, he sends it a long ways.
Long ways. Yes, he does.
So true.
He does. Brian, do you have anything to add about Yordan Alvarez?
I mean, he's amazing. Yeah. I think the question, because he set a record for the Astros. Now, I think they play a little bit longer before the All-Star break now than they used to, but yeah. He became the first Astro ever to have 30 home runs by the break.
Yeah, I hate that stat because it's not even. It's not the halfway point.
You almost have to judge it by, like, just after 81 games. Yeah, yes. how many homers do you have?
It's not like the break means anything relative to other breaks. That's what drives me crazy about that stat.
But the question, I think, as we get deeper into the season will be, is he going to have the greatest offensive season by an Astro ever?
Yeah.
Now, the current...
Bagwell's the peak?
Bagwell has the record at 47. I can't remember if Berkman tied him or if he was one-off, but Berkman has a season like of at least 45, 46 home runs.
Yeah.
And Yordan's at the break with, what, 32? 31?
31.
So he's got a chance to break it.
I think he's going to.
Do we think he's a better hitter overall than Jeff? In that era, there was a lot going on, too. You know
what I mean? At his peak, yes.
Yeah, I think he's the best. I think he's the best hitter I've ever seen. Like pure. Like
at his peak, I think he's better.
Like guys, we talked about this on Friday. We did a best players you've seen in person. So there's a lot of great hitters I didn't see in their prime in person. But like, just like for me, like visually, like when I've watched, like really locked into baseball. I feel like he's the best pure hitter like I've seen in the best version of themselves.
You know who really sticks out to me when I think about that and it just comes to mind was Manny Ramirez. Like
that's
his
good call.
His inability to strike out at times. Like he had the ability to mash and then also like just make contact enough times to see that one pitch that he needed. Like and he had the most beautiful right-handed swing you'd ever seen. Like Manny Ramirez, I'm not saying he's better than Yordan, that's not what I'm saying. I'm just saying that he was that guy of like God, every time, dangerous, and didn't punch out like all the time like these hitters do today. That's why I think so many hitters today are like, I mean, okay. Like Aaron Judge is as good of a hitter as many will see in their life.
Mm-hmm.
But the amount of strikeouts is crazy, and it's not just him. It's everybody in this generation, and I hate it.
Yeah.
And Manny wasn't that guy.
And that's why Yordan, I think, sticks out so much because like he is by far the lowest strikeout percentage of all the big power hitters. You know, I think it was Dubon was quoted in the Chandler Rome story from last week about Yordan Alvarez. He's a contact hitter with extreme power.
Mm.
Like that's what's so different about Yordan Alvarez. Mm-hmm. Like he just goes out there, puts up quality at bats again. We saw it this weekend. Multi-hit game, every single game in this one. Like he just puts up good at bats. Like he doesn't strike out a ton. He walks the right amount. He can get on base whenever you want, but then he also can hit a ball way out of the ballpark.
He has the second most home runs hit at the Ranger Stadium this year.
That's absurd.
Wow. I think Jock Peterson's one and Yordan's two for most home runs this season.
Yeah.
At Globe Life Field or whatever
that's
it's called.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah.
Like, he hasn't played that many games there. And that might say more about the Rangers, who, again, are somehow in first place.
I was going to say, that's one of those, first, like, who's more to blame type of deal.
Yeah, but,
I mean, Miguel Cabrera back in the day.
Yeah.
Albert Pujols.
Yeah. I think just, like, from, like, a pure, I don't know, like, I think he's got a chance to break the home run record if he stays healthy. I mean, honestly, wouldn't it be a surprise if he doesn't?
What is the home run record?
47.
47.
Oh, that one.
Oh, yeah, for Houston.
Yeah, okay. We're talking Astros season record.
Like
yeah.
He needs 17 more.
Yeah, he can
absolutely.
You don't
think he's going to hit that?
He certainly has the ability to do it. Well, it's just a matter of his health, I mean, which is what it always is with him.
He had 2.5 months to hit that.
He can do it. If he's healthy, he'll do it.
He could do it in a month if he's healthy. Like, he won't.
That's
like,
a little quick.
No, like, he won't.
17
like,
in a month?
Like, he could be a 10-plus home run guy in a month if he had, like, it wouldn't shock anyone. Like, he's not going to do that. But, like, 2.5 months to hit 17 home runs, yeah.
Generally speaking, there's nothing that he's going to do where I'm like, I can't believe he did that. He's a guy that can do almost anything.
I think that's why he's so special is because
he had 8 in May.
He does things that should be like jaw dropping, and they're just not.
He had 9 in April.
So they're just like, they're just run of the mill Yordan Alvarez moments. Like having 3 multi hit games in 1 weekend is not something that people do anymore. It's just like you said, well, like it's not part of baseball anymore.
But also get hits.
Yes.
Like that, you know?
Yeah.
But the home runs, the hits, the situational hitting. There's few players that when they walk to the plate in the biggest moment, you're excited versus like, you know, either worried or like, man, I hope so. Like, there's a chance, I guess. When Yordan walks to the plate, you're like, oh, hell yeah. Like, this is his moment. This is what I can't wait to see. If he gets to the plate, we all have a chance. Like, we have a chance to see history made, a huge moment once again.
Yeah, he just does it constantly. It's incredible. That was all my goods from the weekend, really. Like, I don't know, Brian, if you had any more.
Well, the obvious one with Lamont Wade hitting the grand slam.
Good call.
Shout out to him. And then Isak Paredes has been really hot ever since the calendar turned over to June. But he had, what, 2 more hits on Saturday. Had he made the Rangers pay yesterday when they walked Yordan ahead of him, drove in 2. And he also had a walk in each game. Like, Isak's been steadily contributing across the board.
Yeah, that flip in the lineup that Joe Espada made, that as Christian Walker was starting to trail off 2 months ago, to putting Isak Paredes behind Yordan Alvarez, has worked out beautifully. Like, it was exactly what we used to talk about with Christian Walker when he was hot, of like, that's the guy you want to protect Yordan Alvarez. And now Isak Paredes has taken that perfectly, because like, you can't just give him a free pass anymore. Like, you have to attack Yordan Alvarez. Even though I did think yesterday the pitcher's reaction when they intentionally walked Yordan after the first 2 balls was hilarious, because he was pissed.
Like, kind of Bonds-esque treatment, because there's already 2 runners on.
Yeah, it's just like, oh, yeah, you threw 2 balls, like, we're just going to give him the base. Like, that shows you, again, how great this guy is. It's unfortunate the rest of the team couldn't pick up the Astros this weekend, so they couldn't win the series between the pitching and other guys in the lineup. But you throw 2 balls to this guy in a clutch situation, they're just going to walk you. Like, it just shows you, like, you're – I think there's really only 3 players in baseball that get that treatment. And it's probably Ohtani
and Judge
and Yordan are probably the only guys, like, in that exact moment are just being put on base like that. Everyone else, for the most part, you're just going to attack, because you've got a guy on the mound who's one of the best closers in baseball this year in the Rangers. And there's like, nope, like, here's first base, buddy. Enjoy it. You don't have to worry about it. Anything else from the weekend that we missed for you?
No, I'm just watching this Pistons-Knicks over-under game. I'm red right now.
Eli's sweating it.
How are we feeling right now?
I'm locked in. So the live over-under is 169.5, so everyone's kind of alive.
It's gone down. The spread is 8.5. That's not good for us. Well, it's not good for Joe and I.
No, it's not.
That's true.
It's not good, but it is what it is.
It always is.
Yeah, that was a mistake. I rushed it, guys.
Maybe if you could listen for a little bit.
I apologize.
Let me do my AI rock.
Next time. I can't believe you did that. I wasn't going to out you for that. I wasn't going to ask you for using that for AI.
It's better than being like, I'm checking the over because Sunday's for the boys.
Yeah, I like to bet.
Great Joe George impression.
I don't need no AI system to tell me how to bet on games.
Well, you might. We'll find out.
Yeah, it's very possible.
It's all summer league basketball, to be fair. Like,
yeah.
Well, Brian kept being like, wait, who's playing again? I'm like, Knicks and Pistons. What does it matter, though? Not one player you've ever heard of.
I was trying
the Pistons
like,
or Knicks.
I was trying to gather if it was a team that like had an early pick that would have some like stud playing and could, like, take over a game versus 2 teams picking at the bottom and didn't have anybody.
All right. So the Astros right now, 3 games out of the West, 1.5 games out of the wild card. What grade do you give the Astros in the pre-All-Star break portion of the season? We'll do that next right here on Jeremy and Joe.
Warning, warning. You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
Broadcasting live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Jeremy Branham and Joe George.
I didn't realize the reason. I have my headphones out. So your mic's not on.
Damn it.
I thought that's why you were complaining about the song.
No, I was just, I was like, it's 7-1-3.
Oh, you're complaining about the song?
No, I wasn't complaining. I was just saying 7-1-3.
Well, he didn't
should have played Houston. Hmm. Houston.
He didn't say great.
I didn't say it was bad.
Do you even know what the song is?
No.
Okay, there we go.
I didn't say it was bad. I was just like, heard the music. I didn't have my headphones in, so I didn't hear the rejoin.
I was about to say, you didn't even hear that we were back.
No, I didn't. No. So I was still waiting for the rejoin to play.
Yeah, it played. It played.
Well, we're here. Jeremy and Joe and Will. It's been a long week.
You excited for the home run derby?
No. Honestly, I love that there's no baseball. And, it's fun. We can talk about more fun things. Nice little break. Because baseball is a grind. Just as a fan, media, whatever, watching every single day, especially with this Astros season, which we'll talk about here, where it's so hot and so cold at times, all the injuries. And plus, it's good, prep for next year when there's no baseball at all.
Don't say that.
I wish the World Cup was next year instead.
No kidding. We're going to need it.
Yeah.
We'll have the Women's World Cup. But
great. Breaking it down every day.
I was giving you a chance to...
We just dogged them for two straight segments on Friday.
Well, you and Jeremy did, yeah.
Yeah, you didn't partake.
No. I know better.
Yeah, are they complaining about getting a whole bunch of money from the men right now?
No, we were talking about how it makes no sense.
Yeah, because that's what's so funny is years ago when this was a huge story, when they were bitching and moaning about the deal that they negotiated and they signed, they knew they were going to get paid if the men made any sort of run. And so they picked it, they signed it, they did it, and now here they are getting a whole bunch of money and they're quiet.
Yeah. Well, man, they're just taking their cash, man.
But they saw a moment to try to drag everybody else through the mud. Just the worst.
All right. How do you grade the Astros pre-All-Star break part? Because, I don't see first half and second half because of what you said, that they don't follow
good
any
man.
Trends. So I just say pre-All-Star break. How do you grade this out for the Astros? Because it's a weird All-Star break. It's a weird team up into the All-Star break. We're if you look at the three main months of the season, two of them, they're above 500. But in April, they went 8-18. You've got all these injuries to Pena's missed a lot of time, Hader. You've lost Hunter Brown for a chunk of the season. Then every other pitcher on the staff, sometimes for the better, has gotten hurt. You've had to send down Jake Myers in center field because he hasn't performed very well.
You had to send down Burrows, but then not send him down and put him on the IL.
Yeah, because if you missed it, they put him on the ISL. This is the exact same thing they did with Kaiway.
Mm-hmm.
Where they sent him down, and then they canceled out the send down, put him on the 15-day IL, which the positive of this is it keeps one of his options, which also makes me feel like it's a phantom.
Hopefully,
injury.
You don't have to use a bunch of options.
Yeah. So you have these guys that you banked on in Burrows and Emi, who have both been pretty bad for the most part. But yet somehow the Astros, and they're also below 500, they sit three games out of the division and a game and a half out of the wild card. This is a time where, I think assigning them a letter grade was not easy. But how would you grade out this first portion of the 2026 season for the Astros?
It's easy for me because I'm not grading on the curve. I'm not looking at the rest of the American League. I'm looking at the Astros, what their roster is, and how they've performed, and it's C- to me. Because it's not good enough. It's not above average. And if average is C+, they're below average, so that's C-. It's not an absolute disaster. So it's not in the D range, and they certainly haven't failed.
You're a disaster.
Because they are in the running. So, it's a C- to me.
Yeah, because there are going to be people that would push back. Because they'll say, look at this team where they're at right now. If they had Hader, Pena, and Hunter Brown.
But that's all part of it.
Exactly.
You have to either be good enough to overcome injuries or healthy enough to be good.
Yes.
They're not really either.
No. And so a lot of people would give them closer to a B range because of that. Now, I'm right in line with you. I'm at a C- for this part of the season. And it's mostly because of the failures of the offseason from Dana Brown. Where I look at this team and I go, okay, part of the reason why they're below 500 is that they knew going into the season that they were going to trade Jesus Sanchez and have a question in left field. Now, at the time, we thought there was this surplus of infielders, and maybe Yordan Alvarez would play more left field. That obviously did not pan out when Correa got hurt and Pena was also hurt. But center field is a problem. Rhode Bryce Matthews is awesome. Everything else you've gotten from center field this year is a total mess. That's something they could have addressed in some capacity in the offseason. They chose not to. They thought they were going to run it back with this crew and be okay. Then you have Mike Burrows and Tatis Emi. Both those moves looked like they were bad. Now, one only costs you money and one costs you low-level prospects. I know some people like Jacob Melton. I don't care. Burrow's was supposed to be better than this, so he didn't lose anything.
Was he? Like, that's right. That's so that
agreed.
Was, coming into the season, my biggest, like, guys, wake up, the pitching staff is terrible, was my take, because you were probably, you know, you weren't replacing, but in essence, you were replacing Framber Valdez with Mike Burrows. Like, that was your number two. And we all knew he was not a number two.
Yeah.
And Emai was kind of slated in as your number three, but there were question marks galore because he had never done it before. And I'd rather have Emai than Burrows, just because, like, there's a lot more for Emai to kind of work through, and I think his stuff is better. I don't think Burrows was ever good, and he's kind of shown that. But the no doubt was that you had no number two.
For sure.
And we still have no number two, and you lost your number one. So here we are.
Yeah. No, I think that's totally fair. Like, I didn't have as high as expectations as other for Mike Burrows, but, like, he hasn't even been, like, a three or four.
Like, he's a non, like, yeah, guy on a good team.
He got sent down to the minors, and it was the right decision.
And, like, he came in as your two. Like,
the, no, he did.
Like, the opposites of that is crazy for a team trying to make the playoffs.
Yeah, so, like, I you know, they get a slight pass because of all the injuries, but at the same time, like, the guys that you're banking on, for the most part, have underperformed. Like, you've gotten a really hot or cold version of Christian Walker. Kind of similarly, I think it's a little more in the middle for Isak, but he had a slow start to the season. He's obviously been very, very good as of late. But you haven't got consistent play from the veterans. Altuve has been really up and down this season, where he's still only hitting .235 on the year. And I agree with what you said, Brian, earlier, that it's looked much better at the plate. Yainer Diaz has looked better as of late, but he was awful before he got hurt. So, like, I landed on a C- as well. Brian?
Oh, nice.
I think I'm at a D, okay. Honestly, because, I mean, we haven't even mentioned another miss by Dana Brown, and that was Ryan Weiss.
Oh, yeah.
Ryan Weiss, and throw one on the guy that's on the roster, but Peter Lambert didn't start the year with the team. Like, mm-hmm. You look at Dana Brown's offseason with going after Mike Burrows and Tatsuya Emai, bringing in Lambert but not having on the Major League roster right away, bringing in Ryan Weiss, not addressing the outfield, but trading away Mauricio Dubon for Nick Allen, then trading away Jesus Sanchez for Joey Loperfido, just basically to save money and then not use the money to make any additions to the team. I mean, other than the historic season so far by Yordan Alvarez and the surprise of Peter Lambert, it's kind of been minus, minus, minus all the way across the board, especially when you factor in Christian Walker's tail off.
Yeah. Two things with that. So, one, if you're attributing Dana Brown making those moves because of money, is it really Dana Brown's move? Like, because he doesn't give a damn about money unless he's being told to.
But see, normally I would agree with you, but when they made the Jesus Sanchez trade, he said that we're not done yet.
Oh, yeah.
Like, that made
me forgot about that quote.
It feels like there's a trade that was close and fell apart.
Mm.
So, like, I agree with you. Like, it's like, yes, maybe he was told to get below it, but they're still only $10 million below it. Like, they're not the little sisters of the poor of some of these Major League Baseball teams, like the Marlins and things like that and the White Sox. They are spending a ton of money this year. Yes. They spent a lot of money on Tatsuya Emai this year for him to have a couple really positive starts and then part of the year have to be hearing about how he's eating dinner at the wrong time.
Unfortunately, like, for Emai, though, it's learn on the job. Like, it's a lot like Nick Caley. Like, you know, it's just, it is what it is, unfortunately, and you hope that he picks it up. But you look at the rotation to what you all were saying. I mean, these are some 4A guys. Spencer Arrighetti, Peter Lambert, Emai, Mike Burrows, kind of, all in the minors at a point. Mm-hmm. All in the minors.
But that's part of why it's a D for me.
I agree. I'm just like, that's crazy
that
a team that's trying to compete to get in the playoffs, four of their five guys in the rotation have spent time in the minors to figure some things out. I know Burrows didn't technically go down. They called it off, but
the only thing you could give Dana Brown a plus for is Peter Lambert, but even then he screwed it up by not having him start the season.
We DFA'd him.
Yeah, exactly.
Peter Lambert could be on another team.
Yeah, he had no intention of Peter Lambert actually being on the team.
That's a good point, the DFA. Like, Arrighetti, I think, took a bullet for the team by not being in the rotation to start the year because you also had Christian Javier, Lance McCullers. You couldn't send down Lance. You weren't going to send down Christian. Like, you kind of had, I don't want to say like too many riches because that's obviously not what it is, but you had too many guys that just weren't going down to the minors.
Yeah.
Obviously, Hunter Brown and Mike Burrows weren't either. So you didn't have much of a choice. Now, the DFA aspect, it makes that a little different for Lambert, but you have too many guys in your rotation that are getting paid too much money that aren't good at pitching.
Yep.
That's the bottom line.
Yeah, it's and I don't know if any of
Dana Brown's eye for pitching is kind of like Nick Caserio's eye for offensive line at this point.
Well, like kind of, but like he did the Kikuchi, that was a great deal.
Okay, you give him one.
He likes Arrighetti. He was in a pickle there. If he liked Lambert or not, I don't know. Lance McCullers wasn't his guy. Mike Burrows, bad.
That's him.
Bad.
That's all him. So is Emi.
You know, some are. I'm shocked at how anti-Emi Jeremy is because he's usually like a little bit more level-headed.
Yeah.
I just don't, like, I don't have a hot take on Emi yet other than he has sucked, but he's also shown some good.
I was like, sorry to get open to Emi of like the idea of like him turning it around. And then there's the interview that they did during the game through his interpreter that he admitted he has no idea where his slider's going. Like, that's not a guy that you can rely on.
No.
If he has no idea which direction it's going to go, like, it's just the reality is, like, he's going to have starts where he looks like a Cy Young winner, and then there's going to be starts where he doesn't make it out of the first inning.
Serious question. Do you think the Astros knew before signing him that he had no idea which way his slider went?
No, I do not, because I don't – maybe this is – I'm giving Dana Brown too much of a pass here, but based off how the introductory press conference went – the fact that Emi is in all these commercials now for Daikin, I just feel like this was a decision made based on money.
In part, for sure.
And that they wanted to get into the Japanese market to support their new sponsor. I think this is a Jim Crane
move. I wonder if they would even thought to ask. Hey, do you know where your slider's going?
Honestly, no, because I've never heard
that. Why would you ask a guy that?
I've never heard that in my life.
Because usually the answer is, of course I know where it's going.
Yeah, I've never heard that in my life. Be like, no, I just throw it and I don't really know where it's going to go. I've never heard a pitcher say that before. Because typically those guys don't make it to the big leagues.
The moment you mentioned the press conference, the moment I was like, oh no, was when he was asked why he didn't sign up with the Dodgers. And it was like a great answer. But I was like, bro, that's not how this works. And he said, you know, I don't want to play with the Dodgers. I want to beat the Dodgers. And I was like, oh yeah. Like,
oh, yeah. He did get everyone going with that.
Bro, that's not how this works. If the Dodgers want you, you're going there because they will give you millions upon millions to play there.
Yeah, I mean,
that means they didn't want you.
Yeah,
and if they didn't want you, then you're probably not a number three on a team, and you're probably not very good if they don't even want you.
Well, the initial projections for Tatsu Emi were like absurd level contracts. Like, it was like,
and he didn't even get that. Like, no, it wasn't even close. Like, no one else was in on the bidding, let alone the team that will bid anything for anyone, especially coming from Japan.
Yeah, it was from my understanding, it was a two-team race for his services. And the Astros outbid the Cubs on New Year's Eve. And that's when they got him. Like, it was like those were the only two teams that were doing it. And it was the opt-outs that ultimately came down to it because one team would do it and one team wouldn't.
Hmm.
And now he has the liberty to stay in Houston and make a bunch of money. Or if he turns it around in the second half, in the post-All-Star break part of the season, he can opt out and go make a bunch of money somewhere else potentially, which I don't think is on the table. But that's what their mindset was at the time. But yeah, I think C, C minus, D are all fair. Like, let's see, Abraham on the Twitch says F.
Yeah, I mean, it's not an F. It's just, it's not.
It's
they haven't failed. They're not out of it.
And
not even relativism. It's just they're still treading water. So, like, it's not a fail. They haven't drowned.
I think the reason why my guess here is the argument for the F is it's still so below the standard that we had been living in.
You got guys, change the standard, boys.
The
dynasty is over.
Yeah, this is a new, like that standard that we once would talk about the Astros, it changed when they lost the two games and got knocked out of the playoffs by the Tigers and then missed it the following year.
And no one showed up and y'all didn't care.
Like, this is like, it's a new era of Astros baseball where like the standards have to be a little bit different. Now, still saying C minus and D is totally valid because you've got a guy having a generational season who's going to win the MVP this year if he stays healthy, and then everyone else is kind of like laying clunkers for the most part for a majority of the season at this point. Like, it just hasn't been good enough. Where are you at with like your expectations for the rest of the year? Like, are you
from a grading standpoint or from
like do you expect this team to be like a playoff team right now?
I expect them to compete for a playoff spot because I don't think they're that bad. I think the AL is horrendous, and I think they're going to be around. And I think it's going to come down to a game or two, and like the small things are really going to matter, but not in like a very detailed way, like a good team, but like the small things for a not very good team, like base running, like simple things that you should be able to do well that they really don't do well. Who's in center? Who's in left? I mean, things like that versus, you know, like a game of inches like in football with the Texans where it's small things that they got to improve on. I was talking about with the Astros. It's just – it's like the big small things that they don't do well.
I think like it really feels like to me like you've got 8 games remaining versus the Rangers and the Mariners. So it's 3 versus the Rangers, 5 versus the Mariners. One is a weird 2-game series before you wrap up with the Athletics at the end of the season.
Who do you think is the most important player in the post All-Star break push? And I'll tell you mine. I think it's Hunter Brown.
Yeah.
Because he has to be good enough to prevent any sort of skids. Like, that's what an ace does. An ace goes out there and stops any sort of negativity. And if you are rolling, he keeps it going. And he has the ability to give your bullpen breaks. He has the ability to kind of halt the situation if the bullpen is getting beat down because the other guys can't do their job. I can't count on anybody else in the rotation. And Yordan, like, yes, but like one guy's not going to win you a whole bunch of games consistently. You need your whole lineup to show up. So for one guy, for me, it's Hunter Brown, because in this American League, the way it's structured right now in particular, if you can just not suck as much as the guy next to you, then you have a chance of making the playoffs, and Hunter Brown can prevent that.
I think for me, because like Pena's been pretty good when he's been healthy. Walker, no, low expectations for. Isak, going to be solid. So I have to pick one guy. I'm going to go Cam Smith. I think it's...
I think you're going to be disappointed, Joe.
I know I am, but like it feels like it's time. Like there's still these moments where like the home run this weekend where it's just like it's there. Like the guy, that dude, the aircraft carrier that they deemed him, is still there. But we haven't seen the consistency.
You think he's still there? Do you think he's that guy? Like, do you think he has the ability? Because I like your answer in regards to like he's the X factor.
Yeah.
And years ago, people will laugh, but I'll explain why. Like, Chaz McCormick was my X factor for the team to just lengthen the lineup. Like, the top four do your thing, the fifth guy do your thing. But if you have a guy that can make your lineup 6 or 7 deep, then you're having an entirely different conversation. If Cam Smith is able to do that, then you could have a different conversation. And I think that's why it's actually a good answer, because don't worry. Like, your four hole has to be that guy.
Like, it's So, like, I think it's Walker for me, of just like the guy, like
Cam Smith.
Yeah, he has to stop. No. Like, he has to turn it on. Like, I still think the elite level prospect is there because we see it in flashes. But unlike a lot of the other guys who have come up quickly, you're not seeing it play out on like a day in and day out basis. Brian, quickly before we go to break, do you got
one player? We'll just combine at this point. But I would say it's Arrighetti. I mean, or pencil in, just someone has to emerge themselves as a legit, decently consistent third starter. Because I think we feel like Hunter Brown's going to turn around. He's going to be the guy that who he is. I know he's walking too many batters right now, but he's going to be Hunter Brown. To Will's point, you need that as well. Peter Lambert's been great, but if they could get a guy to be consistently quality in that third spot, hopefully it's Arrighetti because he's shown the most flashes this year, then I really think that goes from they have a starting pitching problem to it's good enough.
Yes.
And I guess Ronel Blanco.
Yeah, I mean, it could be.
It doesn't really matter. They just need someone to go into that 3-hole.
Someone, yeah. It has to. I mean,
Do you have faith Peter's going to continue to be that guy?
I kind of do.
I'm not
saying you don't. I'm just.
Maybe not next year, but I think he's figured something out for at least this year.
Yeah.
I'm willing to say he's going to be good the rest of this year.
Text line says the most important player post All-Star break is going to be whoever your number two pitcher is. I'm guessing that's alluding to potentially a trade, which we'll discuss throughout the week, because who your favorite targets are for the Astros, because the trade deadline's coming up pretty quick here, August 3rd. We'll take a break. We'll get to a little World Cup action. If you guys got any more most important player of the Astros the rest of the way, you can send those in on the text line, 713-780-3776. But we'll talk some football, some VAR next here on ESPN 97.5. First, I want to talk to you about my friends at D&M Leasing. They're the best in the business in terms of leasing a vehicle. You don't have to waste hours and hours at a dealership anymore. You can give them that call right now, 713-290-1000, or visit them at dmautoleasing.com today. You can see their full list of inventories, Honda, Fords. They got it all on their website. When you pick the vehicle that you want, you just call the leasing agent. The salesperson's been there for 10-plus years, so they know everything that you need to know. They'll tell you all of that, and they'll get you that brand-new lease vehicle within 24 to 72 hours. They'll bring it to your house, your office, wherever you're at. They'll even take your trade-in as well. Don't waste hours and hours at a dealership. Don't get stuck in negative equity. Start leasing a brand-new vehicle today with D&M Leasing. Call them 713-290-1000 or visit them at dmautoleasing.com.
Houston's independent voice for sports talk.